That's something to think about because you said between 18 and 64, you said?
That's 40% of all the long-term care claims right now.
Wow. And I know that we have some millennials out there that are definitely not thinking about that. And in my research, when I was preparing for this, those facts were very moving and close to me because I myself have had a personal situation with long-term care when it comes down to the care of my mother. And so I'm just going to go ahead and share that with you guys. In 2010, my mother was diagnosed with a blood cancer called plasmacytoma, and it was isolated at the time, just located in her right shoulder. Soon after, it developed into multiple myeloma, and all of her treatments were going well, and she was in relatively good health. I want to say that hindsight is 2020 because I know that the mistakes that I made, and along with my siblings, when we found out about my mother's diagnosis, we just wanted to focus on the positive side of things. We wanted to keep her spirits up. We never wanted her to be fearful of not being able to take care of herself or have access to the funding or the treatments that she needed to continue this fight. So we focused on the here and now, and we did not think about what could come ahead. And last December, it hit us like a freight train when her kidneys began to fail, and we found that she was in the hospital for 5 weeks. During this 5 weeks, my mother entered in, and she had her witty sense of humor, and I think that's the most censored way I can actually say that her sense of humor is. But I saw a rapid decline from where my mother was no longer able to speak and or feed herself or have any of the mobility that she entered into the hospital with. And it came down to some very difficult decisions that my siblings and I were faced with concerning my mother's comfort and care. And I honestly hate to admit this, that a lot of those decisions were mainly based on finances. And it seemed as though my brother, sister, and I, along with our spouses, we were thrown into a crash course of medical insurance, Medicare, hospital regulations, nursing home tours, claim disputes, claim denials. I mean, it was honestly, it was a miracle that we all got through it in one piece. But again, through it all, we knew that our mother's comfort and care was top priority, and that is what we needed to focus on. Fortunately, she had the three of us to come together and to be able to pool our finances together to make sure that she came through on the end without any worry. But she didn't have the worry, but we did. I know I did for one. So, even though we went through that crash course and we stuck it out, we failed miserably. We assumed that the insurance that we all had thought we had done the research and selected for her, that was not providing her that adequate coverage that she needed. Even when it came down to Medicare, it provided some coverage, definitely, and it assisted us, but it was not what we were looking for my mother. And when it came down to self-insuring my mother's care, the prices were ridiculous. And with her 5 week stay in the hospital, I don't know if any of you out there have ever had a loved one in a hospital, maybe with a serious illness or an aging parent, but it came down to where the insurance was willing to pay for hospice, but they were not willing to pay for a nursing home. And that in itself was very devastating when you're sitting there and your mother is you know, calling out for the chaplain to come visit her, and you have social workers telling you what's the best, and you have that that nice lady in the suit from the business office with her file folder. You know, we just had to focus on, you know, just kind of coming out and staying together and continuing the fight for my mother along the way. You know, but we failed. I just want to say that we failed. I failed. We did not ask those questions ahead of time, prior to her cancer diagnosis. If there was something else in place, if there was something else that we could have added on to her insurance, we did not sit down and speak to the appropriate advisors. And we just felt that we could do it ourselves. And no matter what came our way, we would always be able to pool our finances together and, I guess, buy her some health and comfort. But I'm here to tell you firsthand, you cannot buy your way to good health. Just as though you can't buy your way into heaven, you cannot buy your way to good health. And this is something, long-term care is an issue that it is preventative, but the prevention piece of it is to not take as big of a financial hit as it could have if you do not take the appropriate steps. So I'm going to continue on with my story, but I definitely wanted to start you off, guys, with that and get you thinking. I really want you guys to get ready later on in the segment, and we're going to ask you guys to call in, share your stories, ask your questions. This is going to be a touchy-feely hour, so if you need to bring out the tissue, bring out the tissue, but this is something definitely that we need to discuss, and you need to sit down and have those meetings that we've been talking about over the weeks with your family. And this is a part of the conversation. You know, what if mom and dad can't take care of themselves? Do they have something in place? Do they have enough in savings reserve? Can we ourselves as adult children take care of our parents? When you get hit with $100,000 hospital bill split three ways, that's never fun. That's never a fun discussion to have after the fact when there's no money there. So let's go ahead and take a break. And when we return, I'll continue with my mother's long-term care story and how it turned out. And I'm going to bring in Miss Ann Day from Life Brokerage, and I'm going to start pulling in my sister advisor, Miss Courtney. I hope you ladies are ready. Thank you for listening, and to Let's Talk Money on Amazing 102.5 FM. And we're back. Thank you for listening to Amazing 102.5. I am Sloan Young with Wealth Development Strategies, and this is Let's Talk Money. We are focused on making all of you independent women. All right. Before the break, I was sharing my story and how my family and I were faced with some difficult decisions when it came down to my mother's need for long-term care. But during that break, we got a phone call. So, caller, are you there? Ann, can you touch on that one?
Well, what you're talking about, referring to, is the program of Medicaid. And yes, that is a program for people with low income and low assets. And I believe the minimum now is like $2,000 in assets in order to be able to qualify for Medicaid. The facility you are talking to can guide you in that direction. And if they can't, I'd go on to another one and ask them the questions, because each situation is specifically different, but they can give you the best information on that kind of thing. They can also locate facilities for you. They can call the state and they can find out the exact requirements. So in those instances, you usually need to depend on the facility themselves. Does that answer your question? Again, there's only certain things you can own, and so much income and so many assets. And if they're counting the car as an asset, then that's something that comes under the state rules of Texas. So there should be a Medicaid.gov. You could go to their website. And you can get 800 phone numbers that you can call, and they can tell you exact specifics for what you qualify for here in the state of Texas in order to have Medicaid funding. That's probably going to be the easiest way for you to get your information, your specific information.
All right, and caller, I'm sorry, before you go, I didn't catch your name. What's your name again, sweetheart? Sharla, can I, I just want to go ahead and get your input a little bit later, because I would like to invite you in to come in for a consultation if you to kind of help you and your family out with your grandmother's situation. Okay. All right, Charlotte, let me go ahead and give you the number to the office so you can reach out to Kathy and schedule that consultation. And if you could give her your number, I will reach out to you later on this afternoon, okay? Okay, so the number is going to be 713-561-8110. I'm going to say that one more time. It's 713-561-8110. And you just go ahead and let Kathy know you heard us on Let's Talk Money, and give her your information, and I'll reach out to you this afternoon, okay? All right. Thank you so much for calling in. Bye-bye. All right. So, and that's my whole point, ladies. I wanted to tell the story and pull at some heartstrings, and because I wasn't the only one. I know Courtney may have some situations, and I know you may have some situations of how you, you know, have had to deal with long-term care, and it's something that, you know, we don't talk about.
Yeah.
And we need to have that conversation. I can continue on with my story, but do either one of you ladies have a story that you'd like to share? Courtney, you want to go?
Yeah. I'll just interject for a moment. But to the caller's point, the spending down the assets, that's very true. Mm-hmm. It's almost as if the government wants you to be financially destitute, if that's the appropriate word to use, mm-hmm. before they step in to assist financially. My personal story, I'd say at least 20 years ago, my mom, much like your mom's mom, mm-hmm. My mother is disabled. She has been since 1996. And this is when she was around the age of 37, 38, very young. And she was diagnosed with lupus.
Mm.
Lupus is an autoimmune deficiency. And she also developed rheumatoid arthritis. She also now has diabetes type 2. Okay. And the list goes on and on.
Right.
So my point is, with those pre-existing health conditions today in 2016, mm-hmm. she's not eligible for long-term care coverage.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I understand your story of being financially unaware of the mm-hmm. consequences of
yes.
having proper coverage in place.
Right.
I didn't understand that either 20 years ago. I was, in high school?
Right.
I may have been a junior, senior at the time, or preparing for college. I didn't understand what I understand now.
Right. Hindsight.
Exactly. Hindsight 2020. And I really wish that I had all this education and all this knowledge to share with my mom back then so that she would be in a better position now.
Right.
Yeah. So I do know that unfortunately, because of her lupus diagnosis, to the caller's point, she did also have to spend down her assets in order for the government to step in to assist. And so we do have a family friend who the government pays to be her informal home health care provider.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I'm able to come to work every day. Because I have someone that my mom trusts to be able to be in the home when I'm at work throughout the week for a certain number of hours per day to help her with things that you and I may just take for granted, like
right.
washing dishes,
mm-hmm.
washing our clothes, paying the bills, and even to help her with her medication.
Right.
So, you know, I just think I should share that because it's real. This is real. And this happened 19, 20 years ago, and to this day, in her late 50s, she's still dealing with the autoimmune deficiency because there is no cure.
Right.
There's a lot of medication she's on for pain management, but there is no cure.
Right. Right, exactly. So it is a chronic situation.
Yes, ma'am.
But that's what happens, I think. And the younger we are, the less we tend to think about things like that, and we push them aside. And even as we get older, it's the old proverbial ostrich sticking their head in the sand. We don't want to talk about it because we feel like it can never happen to us. But you know what the beginning of all this was is when we came into the world and we needed help with everything. We needed help with eating, with bathing, with dressing, and that's exactly the way most of us are going to go out. It's a real concern that long-term care is provided for the basic activities of daily living. But as time goes on, I think more and more younger people are becoming aware of this because the private industry, the private insurance industry, is the only one that's really going to take care of all of the needs for the long-term care and provide the monies. The private health insurance cannot do that. They pay your doctor bills. They pay your hospital bills. Medicare is limited in what they pay. And as we both have mentioned in the caller too, Medicaid is very hard to qualify for.
Yes, it is.
and when then your last resort is self-funding, well, that's almost an impossibility any longer with the cost of care nowadays. And when I quoted that $75,000 a year for care, that is expected to double and triple in the next 20 to 30 years. So when you think about the cost of care for a year being over $100,000, 55 and 50, and thank goodness for that, because people are, like I said, becoming more aware of the need for it. And obviously, the younger you are and the healthier you are, the easier it is to get this, qualify for this type of insurance. So it's still a young insurance.
It's not like property casualty and life insurance. So we're still making headways into what to do here as far as premiums and as far as health issues we can cover. So.
Now, I wanted to touch on, because we were talking about caregivers and having a family member and having some type of supplement payment where you were able to come to work. Mm-hmm. I know once my mother was released from the hospital, she came to live with me. And I was responsible for making sure that for her comfort and making sure that she was able to, she had the ability to get dressed, and I had to feed her, make sure she had her medications on time and work. I mentioned and I admitted that I failed. I did not know that I could have someone come in and assist me. So it was me driving back and forth from Houston to Clear Lake, making sure that she had what she needed because she wasn't at a place yet in her recovery where she could be alone. Mm-hmm. I don't want to say that burden, but that became my cross to bear. And even though I had my siblings, I mean, my brother, he's in Arkansas and my sister's in Dallas. Mm-hmm. So I'm here in Houston with mom, mm-hmm. and I'm the first line of help when she needs it. And that is at times sometimes trying, especially when you're in a practice like ours and we are feeling and emotional with our clients and their needs, and we have to turn off the switch because we're dealing with the same things at home. Right. It's very hard for caregivers. And so is there, outside of what Medicare can offer as a supplement and helping the, what was it? What did you call the?
Informal home health care.
The informal home health care. And is there something else that maybe private long-term care can offer to the caregivers? Because it's very stressful, and I believe it takes years off your life.
Oh, yeah, and I agree with you totally. You know, years ago, Emily, you know, back then we had 8, 10 children in a family. One of my aunts.
Everyone had their fair share.
Listen, there was no way you were going to get away without caring for somebody.
And
that was a good thing, and that everybody could take that under their wing. But also, everybody lived close together.
Right.
You know, they worked the farms and they grew their own food, and there was never a question if somebody was going to take care of it. I don't want to move to Austin. And I bet you if you ask my daughter, she'll tell you the same thing. I don't want that either, mother. So when you're talking about the home health aides, and these are generally required heart problems, there's no cancer. They're just
age.
They're just age. Yeah. Right. And you know, there's no cure for old age.
No, there's not.
You know, and that's a truism. And so at that point, you know, when you're looking at the cost we have right now is like $80,000 a year.
Oh, wow.
But we do have some sources of income, thank goodness. That has worked out very well. But let me say something else. That is just room and board. Mm-hmm. That is not of supplies you need. That is not prescriptions. And so when you're talking to, it gets very expensive when you're looking at those situations.
It does, because I learned in my research, there is a private room that you can have, or a semi-private room. And so depending if you want a neighbor or to be in the room by yourself, there's an expense to that. So
and you have to think about your first year away at college when you're moving into the dormitory and you have your roommate. Just think about that now. Do you want to have a roommate in your golden years?
That's right.
that's
definitely something.
Well, when I'm talking to folks about this kind of a situation, and I kind of let them know that there's only four types of people out there.
Okay. Share with us, please.
Those, I was getting ready to do that.
Get my pen ready.
Those who have been caregivers, those who currently are caregivers, those who will be caregivers, and those who will need a caregiver. How do you see yourself? Can you put yourself in one of those positions? And if so, do you want to guard against that certain type of position? So I can't take credit for what I just said, and I'll be honest. that was Rosalind Carter in 1997, one of our former first ladies, who said that at a political meeting. So you might ask someone, what's their plan? You know, I know you don't think this is going to happen to you, but if it does, what is your plan?
So you're asking what is the plan, and I know I'm speaking from the perspective of the adult child. So what is it that an adult child can say to a parent that feels as though they're invincible, or they have they're in fairly good health? What do you say? And I want to say, in my case, my mother, I mean, she has myself and my siblings. That's the plan. We know it. We accepted it. But I'm the youngest, and I have my brother. He's 54, and my sister is 52. So again, I am looking at possibly finding myself in that caregiver role again, twice over. What conversations can I have with them? Because my big brother, he definitely feels as though he's invincible. He's my Superman and always will be. But I know there will come a time when he and his wife will need some type of care. So how do I strike up that conversation? And I want to go to break, because that's something that I think is going to lead us into more questions. And I want to have some callers call in. So go ahead and give us a call at Amazing 102.5. The number here at the station is 1-832-685-1025. Again, that is 1-832-685-1025. We'll see you when we get back.
That was more engaging.
Okay, good. Okay, good. Yeah, okay, good. We have 20 minutes left.
Okay. That's the song. Okay, I'm start back, and it's going to go to what are some things that adult children,
that's a
right, the conversation that you have with parents about,
you know, so,
getting older,
right, right.
Okay. Let's say,
you know,
by
sex and my mom.
And it can absolutely can derail the best laid plans of any retirement plan. So I think people get a little confused in that they think a lot of this is going to be covered by private health insurance, mm-hmm. by Medicare, by Medicaid, and it's so limited in what is paid in any of these situations that I just think it, more education to the public out there would be very, very helpful. And I think that is being done on numerous levels. But even like reading different periodicals, you find out more and more about the long-term care situations. But private health insurance is again, as I said before, is doctors and hospitals. And
right.
The Medicare situation is good. Medicare is good right now. They pay for the first 100 days if you're under certain parameters. You have to have 3 previous days in the hospital, and you have to have a situation that you're going to recover from. It can't be something chronic like Alzheimer's.
Right.
They don't pay for that. What they pay for is like a broken hip,
right.
or some kind of therapy, something you're going to recover from. They will pay the first 100 days, the first 20 days at 100%, and then the next 80 days are paid with a deductible, which is usually covered by your Medicare supplement.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So that's why most people, when they buy into the private long-term care insurance, they will buy a 90-day waiting period, which means the period of time you go through
exactly.
before benefits are paid, in order that they give Medicare a chance to pay. But they do, and that's a good source. And they also will pay for some home health, but it's very limited. So it's very important that people become aware of what they can't depend on rather than what they think is gonna solve the problem.
Right.
For them. So
and to Anne's point, I just wanna add the misconception I think that's out there is, well, with this long term care plan, and if I don't use it, I can't get a refund.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's talk about you needing it and not having it. Versus you having it and not needing it.
That's
a big difference.
Yes, but just to add to that, Courtney, there are extra benefit riders you can put on these programs out there that say, hey, if you die before you use your benefits, we're going to give you all your premiums back mm-hmm. to your charity of your choice or mm-hmm. to your spouse or to your partner.
Right.
So you can always put those extra benefits on there.
Even with inflation protection.
Exactly.
I think that's right. a benefit.
Exactly. Keeps those benefits in line with how the costs are rising,
mm-hmm.
kind of.
Slowly.
But there's also, I know it's the use it or lose it thing. People say, you know, what if I pay in for years and years and years and
right.
never use it? Well, you're getting involved in the program. So
right.
those are good points, very good points.
And again, to your point, Courtney, and to yours, Anne, it, when we had this discussion last week with my sister advisor, Katina Risper, it's not necessarily about you. It's not about you. Long-term care is not about you. Disability coverage is not about you. Life insurance is not about you. It's about those that you love. That if you were not here tomorrow, if you were unable to live your life the way that you are living it now, if you ever become, find yourself in a position where you can no longer provide for your loved ones, that is what these things are for. It's not about you. It's not about a use it or lose it. It's I'm protecting my wife. I'm protecting my children. I'm building a legacy. It's not about you. Long-term care coverage is not about you guys. It really isn't. Anne, are there specific times in the year? Because, again, like I know you said your daughters live in Austin. I know my siblings were in Arkansas, Houston, and Dallas. What is the appropriate, like, time? Would it be during the holidays? I know it's not somewhat of an uncomfortable conversation, but could this be brought up over turkey dinner during Thanksgiving?
Well, absolutely. Anytime there's a family gathering, that always brings everyone closer to the situation. And besides that, when everybody's together, you could get a lot more support from each other. You know, you might even plan something rather than just springing it on them. So definitely, and there's just really no bad time as far as I am concerned. And you know, you don't have to convince them all in one setting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just call their attention to something every once in a while. And, you know, you don't want to lose homes. You don't want to lose possessions. You don't want to lose all of these things that you hold dear that you've worked so hard for all your life just due to some illness
right.
that you didn't prepare for. So I would say any time would be a great time to. And ease into it. I mean, bring it up more than once. Mm-hmm. Bring it up more than once. I know I've brought it up to my mother. My father's deceased, but my mother's given us no problem about going wherever she needs to go. But I tell her about situations. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm telling her what I'm going through
right.
with the in-laws. And you know, she's just kind of looking at me and hoping, saying, I just hope I never do that, you know. And I say, well, I'm with you.
Ditto.
Yeah, I think it's a conversation that you need to quit avoiding.
Right.
And we've done that all of our lives about those kind of situations, and we just need to bring them to the forefront.
But, now, you said that you share your stories with your mother, how you and your husband are, and how you're dealing with your in-laws. What about the spouse of that adult child who is dealing with, like, should that spouse be included in that conversation? Because that could get a little tricky.
You mean as far as what's...
Having the conversation about long-term care, you know, when it's in place. And I know when I was dealing with my mother, my husband was fully on board. And so, but there's... And with you, I mean, I know you're fully on board with your husband, but were you included in that conversation, or is it just something that just kind of happened and you're like, I'm here?
Oh, I understand you now. It was sudden and it happened. And, you know, when it does happen, you don't have a lot of choice. And
right.
That's another thing that you can prepare for. In fact, there was even suggestions made. And this is another good thing, too. There's lots and lots of assisted livings. Mm-hmm. There's lots of places that, and they're nice. The assisted livings are little separate apartments.
Right.
They have great dining rooms where, I mean, tablecloths and nice.
Oh, wow.
So just really super nice. So a good thing, too, is what we did with my husband's parents is we took them to visit some of these places.
Okay.
And say, look how nice these are. Look what a good, you know, transition this would be. Didn't get a whole lot of cooperation on it, but we did.
We tried.
We did try. And I think it kind of softened the blow mm-hmm. when they knew they had to move. And, of course, besides all that, it takes a lot to move people.
It
was like, you know, getting all finances in place and getting homes sold and all those kinds of things. So those are all things you're going to have to contend with, which if you take small steps and mm-hmm. get things done ahead of time, it can be so beneficial. But I think it's a good idea to let them see the places.
Yeah.
That's a good thing. I think that would be good.
Because they're not intimidating. They're not horrendous.
I've been in a few and they're nicer than some four-star hotels.
Yes.
They're really nice.
It's true.
Oh.
So I encourage everybody to do that. If it's hard to bring up the conversation, go visit the places yourself and talk to the people that run the places.
I agree.
It gives you something good to say.
Wow. Well, that's a lot. And thank you so much for that information. Courtney, thank you for sharing your story.
You're welcome.
Guys, thank you so much. I hope that we had the opportunity to move you closer to having that conversation with your loved ones and understanding that it is not about you. But this conversation does need to continue. And if you heard anything here on 102.5, Amazing FM, Let's Talk Money, give us a call at Wealth Development Strategies and let Kathy know that you want to continue this conversation. Our phone number is 713-561-8110. And let her know, hey, I want to continue this conversation. I want to bring my parents in. I need to have some type of mediator. So until next time, please be safe this weekend and be empowered. And we will talk to you next week with Let's Talk Money. Bye.